Well, I think it's about so much more than this one case in this one town, and you will find a divide with some folks saying, well, they came to this conclusion, move on. But many people of all races look at it as indicative of the mistrust between police officials, authorities, and communities of color here in this country. That's why you see people coming out all over the country in mostly peaceful protests. There's a frustration and there is a sadness.
You talk about mistrust over there. Do you think that mistrust could be overcome with more information on, say, what the jury was actually thinking when they were making this decision?
Yes, I think that actually people look at how it was handled, how the prosecutor seemed actually going in, wanting to absolve the police officer. And they're not saying, oh, that he was guilty, but a lot of people wanted it to be brought out in a court case, which it often is, just so the evidence would be there. I think as you see the protesters having these signs, it says Black Lives Matter. And even as this is happening, you have the case in Cleveland of a 12-year-old boy who was shot by police officers and he had a fake gun. These cases are happening again and again. And as you said, there was something that happened in Charlotte. These things are going on. Of course, in Charlotte, the police officer was charged by the grand jury, and he will be on trial. But you do see it happening.
You are talking about Jonathan Ferrell over there, who was indeed killed by police in Charlotte, North Carolina. Could you recap the events in more detail, please?
Yes, he was in a car accident, apparently, disheveled. He crawled out of his car. He wasn't familiar with the neighborhood. He went to a door, knocked on it. The woman inside thought someone was trying to break in and called police officers. You heard a fairly frantic 911 call. Three police officers did respond, two African-American, one white police officer, and they asked him to stop, they said. The one white police officer did draw his gun and shoot many times, and he was unarmed. And it's, you know, what do you see when you see an African-American? Do you see a 12-year-old boy, as they say in Cleveland, although the police officer said they thought he was 20. Do you see, as Darren Wilson says in his testimony, a demon? He called him almost this subhuman, superhuman predator. And it's almost a matter of what do you see? Who do you see? Do you see a fellow citizen? Do you see someone that could be your son or your brother? Or do you see this person who is not human? And you see that frustration. But in Charlotte, they did charge, and so there were protests, but people at least feel that the evidence will come out in court. I think in Ferguson, Missouri, you did not have those things.
The protests that we have seen in American cities after this recent ruling, they have basically died down a bit as we get closer to Thanksgiving. But what are your thoughts on them? We've even seen related protests here in London.
Well, I do think it's a human rights issue all over the world, and you will see folks having solidarity with people who feel that the poor, there's issues of inequality, lack of opportunity, and challenges in everything from education to work and jobs. And they feel that these folks are not being listened to, that we are not being listened to. And so you have that solidarity. And I think, you know, Thanksgiving is a time of being with family and all of those things in the United States. But there's also it's going to be a sad Thanksgiving because people want things to get better. And as they see these cases happening again and again, how many more grieving parents do you have to see? How many more people, you know, imperfect folks who die are going to be vilified and feel like they are the the person who is the perpetrator, though they are unarmed. And you see this happening again. And I think it's a bit of a turning point. I do believe that even though the protests will die down, these frustrations remain. And as a country and as a world, we will have to deal with them.
And looking at what we can learn from this, do you think racism within America's police force is an institutional problem? Is it embedded within the organizations and institutions of police forces? Or is it really just a case of a few really bad apples?
Well, I think racism is embedded in the history of the United States, and so it's a deep-seated problem that goes beyond police departments. I think police departments just reflect America, in which people, many of them, hold these attitudes. And then, of course, when you're a police officer with guns and your authority, you have very much power. And so I think most police officers are great and they're excellent, and they're there to help you. But I can tell you, as the parent of an African-American male, you also teach them caution, because you know that the police officer can be your friend, but they can also look at you and see, not as my son as a student and a very nice person, but someone that you might fear. So unfortunately, that is the case. But I think police officers do have to look within their culture. There's a move for body cameras, which is fine, but that's not a perfect solution, obviously, because you still have to teach them that they are there to protect and to serve everyone. And I think that's going to have to happen.